Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peake. Here with me today is Harriet Sugarman. She's the executive director of Climate Mama. She's a professor of global climate change policy and world sustainability and chair of the Climate Reality Project in the New York City Metro chapter. She's a nationally recognized influencer and trusted messenger on solutions to the, here's a new word for me, Anthropocene. Through her work on climate education and advocacy, Harriet has found positive and powerful ways to channel her passions to create opportunities, raising awareness and amplifying diverse voices and actions on this most important challenge we'll face in our lifetime, our climate crisis. In addition, tying this all into the time that we're in now, she recently wrote an article called Talking to Our Kids About Coronavirus and Climate Change, The Answers Are Eerily Similar. Harriet, welcome to Cool Science Radio. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I'm really thrilled to be here with you.
Well, we were just talking offline about all the connections that you already have to Park City, in part because of our Mountain Towns 2020 and the Climate Reality Project. So it seems only fitting that you're with us here today, though virtually. So I'm really happy to have you. Tell us about Climate Mama.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, it is wonderful to be with you, even though just virtually, but to know that I'm speaking with an audience out there in Park City in Utah is really great. So Climate Mama was started in 2009. We launched, and it was a couple years after I'd done the climate reality training, one of the first trainings with the Climate Reality Project that were held shortly after Mr. Gore's film and Inconvenient Truth came out. And I was trying to figure out what was I going to do after I did this training, or split the marching orders from it, and they continue to be the same with all of our climate reality trainings, are go back into your community and educate people about the climate crisis. And I had just moved from New York City to a suburb and had two little kids and was meeting all these parents and came back with all of this knowledge and thought, wow, you know, how we aren't talking about this and we should be. And I searched online for places to learn more about the climate crisis from the perspective of a parent with young kids, and I couldn't find any. So I decided that was going to be my path. I was going to create an online community where parents could talk to each other, where they could learn from each other, and where we could find links to real science about what was happening with climate change. So that was how Climate Mama began. There are many different places to go as a parent to learn about the climate crisis on and offline, which is really wonderful. But I think we were out there as one of the first specifically focused on the climate change.
In your book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Climate Change, if we think about talking to our children about anything, whether it's climate change or COVID, we want to impress upon them the seriousness of the situation, but also the relative amount of hope that we should have. Now, it's a little different with COVID in that, you know, we can hope for a vaccine, we can hope for herd immunity, we can hope for eventual eradication. Climate change is a little different to talk about. What would you say about those two?
Yes, you know, really good point. And our Climate Mama motto, and I talk about this in the book too, is tell the truth, actions speak louder than words, and don't be afraid. And I think whether we're talking about the COVID-19 crisis or the climate crisis, both of which are happening now and here and to us, you know, we can figure out, or, you know, scientists will tell us sort of where COVID came from and how that all happened. But we know scientists are telling us that the climate crisis is happening because of our actions and what we've done. And it's very serious, but there are things that we can and must do about it to slow it down. And so in terms of both of these crises, and again, it depends on the age of our children and where they are at. And, you know, because we're going to talk to a 3-year-old different than we talk to a 13-year-old, but to let them know, as you said, that, you know, it's serious, this is happening. And we know from science why, and, you know, we're learning more about the COVID crisis. We know and have a lot of its data going back, peer-reviewed data about the climate crisis, about why it's happening. And we should be hopeful, as you said, about COVID-19, and that we will come out of where we're at. We will get a therapy. We will get a vaccine. We have people all over the world working on those things collectively. Similarly, with the climate crisis, well, it's not something we can stop. It is something we will be living with for the rest of our lives, and we need to get comfortable with that uncomfortable truth. We can reassure our children and ourselves. There are people all over the world working on ways to slow it down, working on ways to find new ways for us to utilize energy, to have products and services, to build our houses, etc. All of these things that do so with the climate crisis at the forefront, and in terms of slowing it down and having solutions to it. So I think that in the same way that we see that the world is coming together to figure out how to get us out of this COVID-19 crisis, our children should rest in that knowledge, and that is active hope. So it's different between having hope in a vacuum, and I talk about different kinds of hope in the book as well, but we should be hopeful that we will be able to slow things down.
Something that just came to me, Harriet, is that in talking to our children about COVID, I think that there is so much focus on protecting other people, protecting people that may be weaker than us, that may be older than us. Kids are so self-centered depending on their age, but you know, it's a developmental, you know, it's cognitive development that actually allows children to get to the point where they mature enough to think about other people out there. But COVID is really something that makes us all have to think about other people, because we have to protect them. And I just thought that that's kind of an interesting way to think about even about climate change, in the way that we talk to our children about it's not just protecting us, it's protecting our world. I guess that's just a comment, but how do you then launch into that with a small, you know, say a 3 or 5 year old?
Yes, no. Well, certainly, I agree 100% with you, Lynn, and I think that that's something that we can absolutely talk about and should be talking about as we all take these very difficult measures with COVID-19, with our children seeing all of us, you know, working from home, staying in our homes, being very careful when we go out, because we want to protect our grandparents, we want to protect elders, we want to protect each other. And in that similar way, I absolutely think you're 100% correct that we can use the climate crisis too, right? These things are happening to us, but they're happening all around the world as well. And so to talk to a very young child, for example, about some of the things that they eat, their snack bar, and say, we're buying this because it doesn't have this ingredient, which is responsible for some of the animals that we love being put in harm's way, or making connections. Little kids love nature, and they love being in nature. And certainly you live in a place in Utah where there's so much access to nature. So I think when we take our young children out, we don't have to even, you know, the word climate change or get into the weeds about describing details about it, but just reminding them the care that we take when we go on a trail to stay on the trail, or the care that we take when we together plant a tree or look after our garden, or, you know, take that, you know, make sure the path is clear for the little ant, whatever it is that our children, you know, love and admire about nature, because most children have this innate connection, that we remind them that we're doing those things because we are taking care, and that's our responsibility to help take care. So I think there are many different ways to help even our youngest children see the bigger picture about why we do certain things. Even, you know, turning the lights on and off, saving energy. Why are we doing that? We can make stories, you know, it's about telling those stories to our children and helping them make those connections even when they're very young.
That's such a great place to start, with saving water and turning off lights in the house. I may have failed on that with my kids, you know, from the get-go. I didn't say, oh, to go back and turn off the light. And it's something that I have even had to deal with as an adult, just having that automatic sort of muscle memory of you leave the room, you turn off the light. What a great thing. And also, you know, what do you say to kids about not wasting water, for example?
Right, exactly. And so all of the, and I think that, you know, certainly out in the Southwest, in the North, you know, there are different places around our country, but not all, and all around the world, where we take for granted the access that we have to clean and clear water. And that is also a story that we can absolutely weave in different ways, depending where we live, where we are, about not wasting water, about recognizing the preciousness of that resource, and that it is something that we really need to take good care and not waste, because it is something that is at risk, our clean water resources. And I think young kids, any age kid, we can help them understand those connections. So all of these things are about connecting the dots and helping our children from the youngest age to, as you said, you know, maybe the teenagers that don't listen to us quite as much as the younger ones, but helping them see that there are connections beyond just us for our actions. Yeah.
If you're just joining me, my guest is Harriet Sugarman. She's the executive director of Climate Mama and professor of global climate change policy and world sustainability. She's also the chair of the Climate Reality Project in New York City. And I'm wondering, wow, the Climate Reality Project, oh, it must look so different in New York City than what it looks like out west here. Or does it? How do those two things, what's the difference? Obviously, your work is on a global level, because we're talking about climate change, but how does it differ working locally where you do?
Yeah, you know what, New York City is doing a lot in terms of policy itself at a city, at a municipal level, in our different boroughs, in terms of addressing the climate crisis in very practical ways, with doing bills that require energy efficiency in buildings, with having electric buses, with moving, you know, so with climate education in schools. So as parents, our Climate Reality Project actually is working with a lot of teachers and educators to try to push forward some coordinated bills that look at climate curriculum and education for teachers. But I think those are similarities exist in mountain towns and out where you are as well too. And I know Park City is a leader in terms of showing other towns and communities what it's doing in terms of energy efficiency, the use of public transportation, and I'm not sure what's happening in the schools out there, but hopefully that is something that parents and educators are helping students see that they're being taught, not just in science, although we're talking about science today and it's clearly important, but that we educate our children are being educated formally cross-curricular. Are they drawing? Are they using art and drama and math when it comes to climate education as well? So while we're doing those things out east, I think we can learn from each other in different ways, different kinds of cities, different kinds of issues. New York City is looking at how to shore up its beaches and our fronts. We're right along the Hudson River. We're right along, sea level rise really impacts us. Clearly, that's not an issue out in Utah. But those are things that we make the connection between the climate crisis, extreme weather events. You certainly have those out there. And how do we as a municipality, and how do we as citizens of the places that we live, help encourage our elected officials to take climate and sustainability as part of how they do their job as well in looking after our city?
Yes, it makes me think about some of the campaigns that have, the genesis of the campaign has been in the elementary schools and the middle schools and even the high school here. I think about anti-idling, and we have an ordinance here within the city that is, you can't idle your car. And then also a plastic bag ban was instituted in the city here. And the kids also developed a campaign to lobby the county and also to sort of chime in with the city. And so it's interesting that if we educate our kids, then our kids in turn can educate us in a way. Like they can remind us, because we know as adults, you know, we're talking about on one hand taking reusable bags to the store, and on the other hand, you know, we might not be trip linking or whatever it's called, and we might be, you know, using our car more than we need to. So,
yeah, I think that absolutely that, well, my book is about helping parents understand the science, the coming to terms with the grief, understanding different ways that we can communicate with our kids. I think the genesis for it, in some ways, for me, in finally putting this down and getting this book forward, was the voices of our children over the last few years who are, you know, angry, or they're motivated to try to move policy and action forward. And not that we weren't hearing them, or they weren't there before doing that. I'm not sure that the world and our country was listening to them. And I think that is what's happening too in many places, that parents are hearing from their kids and then they're kind of caught off guard. So I think as parents, we need to really understand as well too, because unfortunately, climate has been made a partisan issue, and it can't be. It needs everybody, right? It's happening to everyone. Certain places, people are being impacted worst and first, but it isn't an issue that needs all of us. And so I think when we hear from our kids that they are telling us we need to do these things, that we need to understand what we're talking about. We need to get the facts from scientists. We need to get the facts that aren't politicized, and we need to just understand the reality and the truth, as I talked about in the beginning with our climate mama motto, number one being to tell the truth. So our kids remind us of that. They see the truth in ways that sometimes as we get older, maybe we don't quite see it as directly as our young children do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their minds are so pure and not tainted by all of that extra chaos out there in the world that adults tend to, you know, sort of succumb to, I guess. I wanted to ask you about, you know, some of those silver linings about COVID, and something that you can definitely talk to your kids about is showing a heat map of, you know, how much pollution and carbon emissions have decreased during COVID. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we are seeing, right, scientists are showing us these maps that are showing how much the pollution in the atmosphere has dissipated. We're seeing photos from around the world showing, you know, Indian cities that are looking at the Himalayas that haven't seen them in 20 years. And so not only anecdotally, but we're actually seeing from scientific data that there is a huge reduction in the amount of small particle pollution that's in the atmosphere. And even greenhouse gas emissions that we put up are also on the decline. I think pointing out the distinction between the two, the pollution, which hopefully we'll hold on to and we'll continue, you know, to want to be able to see the mountains from our homes. And I'm not, you know, I imagine out there in Utah, sometimes the inversion and the pollution that we see to maybe it's much clearer than it is, I'm not sure. But the difference between greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which unfortunately many of them stay up there for hundreds to, you know, 1,000 years. So even if we literally turned everything off tomorrow, that is not going to go away fast enough. We need to do more to draw down. And so making that distinction, but, you know, for ourselves, but for our children, to point out these real positives, and for us to hold on to those too, that we collectively are powerful. And I think sometimes, particularly with climate, we feel that we're not, or that our individual actions don't matter. And well, it's the collective nature, as I think you mentioned in the beginning, about how we as a community are coming together to do these things, these hard things that actually are helping our earth heal herself. And, you know, same thing where people are seeing animals that I think probably were there, but we didn't notice them before. Maybe they're more emboldened, or we're hearing birds because we're actually listening and we weren't listening before. So those kind of positives in terms of our reconnection to nature and the regenerative ability of our planet to heal herself so quickly for us to see is also, such a positive.
Back to your article titled "Talking to Our Kids About Coronavirus or Climate Change," the answers are eerily similar. And as you were just saying, you know, it's happening fast. There are things we can do about it, and we also know what is causing it to happen faster. I mean, either climate change or coronavirus, right? I just wonder if how much our kids are going, I mean, we are all going to be changed from forevermore from what we've experienced in the last couple of months. And I just wonder what our children, how they're going to be changed by this for the positive in terms of looking at things like climate change.
Yes, I did a interesting exercise. I did a talk specifically about this, what we're talking about now, Lynn, and I took paragraphs from the book and just substituted coronavirus or COVID-19 for climate change in terms of how we speak to our kids. And you could just substitute one for the other in ways that we explain some of the realities of what we're facing. And I think that our children, and these are things we can point out to them again, whether they're young, however young they are, just what we were talking about, how quickly, if we give our planet the chance to heal, that she can. I think that the reality that there are so many people, as we discussed earlier, that are working on a response to COVID-19. Similarly, we are seeing that with our climate crisis. So, you know, hopefully these kinds of things that point out to them to take away, we can make those same connections for them when they're worried about the climate crisis. Now, the immediacy of COVID-19 is here. It's now, it dropped upon us. But the immediacy of the climate crisis in terms of the planet is just as fast. It's a blink of an eye. But in our lives, it still seems somewhat, you know, it seems long because it's happening over our lifetime. But the changes on our planet are happening so quickly. And so for many of our kids, those are as worrisome and scary as it should be, because that is scary. But again, helping them tackle their fears, their concerns, their worries in a similar way with honest and wise answers. We don't have all the answers, just as we don't have all the answers with COVID-19. But there are experts all around the world working on it. So for me, that is hopeful. And hopefully for our children and for all of us as parents, that is, you know, something to hold on to and be hopeful about.
It probably makes our listeners, it certainly makes me think about the different ways that I've talked to my children about this and going forward, just in terms of establishing routines and how we encourage our kids and how we bring the reality to them. And yet we help them feel like they can be part of the solution. Harriet Sugarman is my guest. The book is How to Talk to Your Children About Climate Change. She is the director of Climate Mama. Harriet, it's been really a pleasure speaking with you today. I appreciate you joining us on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It has truly been a pleasure speaking with you today. And thanks for all your good work and all the great information you bring to everyone. So thank you.